live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville Sports Original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
And good afternoon, everybody. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great for the next 2 hours. 615-844-5600 if you would like to be a part of the conversation this afternoon. 844-5600. First two segments, open phones. Coming up around 4:35, Chip Towers joins us from Atlanta. He is with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, talking Georgia, SEC, and more. Just after 5, Joe Rexroad with The Athletic will be a part of the show as well. And then around 5:35 or so, Eric Hasseltine. He is the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. Hope you had a great weekend, Zach.
It was a good week. How was your weekend?
The weekend was good. Really sad news. Woke up this morning with the news of the passing of Kelly Preston, not only wife to John Travolta, but, you know, she was a part of two of my favorite movies of all time, especially from a sports angle. We've mentioned, we talk about Jerry Maguire, that movie all the time, mainly because the role that Tom Cruise played in Jerry Maguire was based on Super Agent Lee Steinberg, who is a friend of the show. And then the other movie, For Love of the Game, one of my favorite baseball movies of all time, she was the love interest of Kevin Costner in that movie. And it was written by one of my professors from Florida State, as far as the book itself was concerned, that the movie was based out of. And just really sad. You know, she battled breast cancer for the last 2 years, unfortunately losing her battle. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Cancer sucks. Period. End of story.
Yep. There's no other way around it.
But so we started off that day. And then as far as from a sports standpoint, we're still playing the, well, we still don't know. the I don't know game still.
Well, at least the Preds are back practicing today. We do know that.
We do know that. We expect the NBA to also, but, you know, with that news, we get the news today that Russell Westbrook tested positive for COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's almost like let's get them underway, and then you don't want to get right up to the eve of everything launching, and then we don't have it again. So as far as these activities, but it'll be interesting to see how the NBA pulls this off as far as, you know, the rejoining of the season per se.
Well, it's a they're doing it pretty strictly, right? Because just recently the news kind of broke that the Kings. Rashawn Holmes crossed the NBA bubble line to pick up food, so he has 8 days left of mandatory quarantine, and I'll just give you the full thing here. His statement was, after the initial quarantine period, I briefly and accidentally, I think that's a key word here, accidentally crossed the NBA campus line to pick up a food delivery. I'm currently in quarantine and have 8 days left. I apologize for my actions and look forward to rejoining my teammates for our playoff push. So I guess at least he did it early, right? It's not going to affect the in-game play.
So it's obviously we're not happy with whatever food we're having, so let's do the extra. And then you cross the line like that commercial, like the snow globe commercial, where it's almost like you cut a hole in that and you kind of that's just stupid. Can I just say that's just really dumb?
I just wonder, what's the line? Like, is there actually, like, a drawn line that they say, or is there a road or something that they're like, don't go past this? How did, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of questions I have about this.
Well, the part that really disturbs me is the fact that you still have individuals just not getting it. And so,
I will say, though, if you look at some of the food that they have been eating, now, obviously, it's not, you know, we're not talking about, like, gourmet chefs here. Obviously, they don't have that. But the food does not look very appetizing. I will say on that side.
If you're in high school or college, does the food look appetizing?
No. Well, you know, hey, man, corn nuggets? I don't know if anybody got to grow up with corn nuggets. I had corn nuggets.
I love corn nuggets.
Yeah, corn nuggets are great. Beef dippers, I enjoyed those.
Good corn nugget. I'm still all about that.
Pizza sticks, that was another big one. Yep.
By the way, we love being right, and we said this back when it was first announced that USC quarterback JT Daniels was transferring to Georgia. He now has the waiver to play. So, and now, of course, we don't know when that's going to happen now, but he transferred in May. He now is eligible to go without having to sit out or anything like that. But, I mean, we'll get the news, and no really big shocker like Southern Cal postponing or canceling their game with Alabama. Here's the part where I still hold on to January, February is when I really think about college football. And so if we do a shift, we find out at the end of July they're going back to, all right, let's just push the deadline. Instead of worrying about September, October, we push it to January, February, and then are all these games back on again? And that's, I haven't heard anybody talk about it from that perspective, because the only thing we have talked about or heard about that, you know, the Big Ten, once again, I think they get tired of, you know, the SEC. The Big Ten wanted to, like, serve notice early last week that they're going to go to conference only. But does all that change if all of a sudden then we push the schedule to January, February for launch?
I think nothing's written in stone, right? I mean, that's kind of what we understood, and that just because one thing's said, another thing can be done easily. So the fact that they still have time, right, to make the changes and schedule or whatever, they can do that at the drop of a dime. Players and teams will just have to be forced, and I think this goes for every league as well, not just college football, but teams and players and coaches, they need to just understand that this is a weird way you're doing it this year. Let's accept that fact, and you're just going to have to adjust on the fly. And then hopefully next year we don't have any of these problems, everything goes back to normal. But just be ready to adjust on the fly as you go.
We get news that the Washington Blanks, and as far as the NFL and the NFC East, they're going to have a new nickname, and not really shocked at all. The name, you know, to me, was racist, is racist, and will always be racist. And so they finally realize, oh, in this climate that we're facing today, time to change the nickname. And so,
what name are you, like, in favor for of all the ones that have been proposed?
Well,
they got like the Warriors, you got the Red Tails, the Red Wolves. That was a big one.
I did tell my father-in-law, when we were over in East Tennessee, he grew up and he was a Redskins fan, and he has this older Redskins jacket, and you know, on my mother's grave, I told him this last weekend, keep that jacket. And the reason I told him to keep the jacket was because it's going to be worth some money. Because you'll get to the point where you will not be able to buy that jacket. Mm. And this was over the 4th of July weekend. And so here we are now, July 13th, and we get this.
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't like, oh, I am just going out there on a limb and thinking of this. But then it goes back to the conversation that, you know, I have, like, the Atlanta Braves going to keep the name, the nickname, the Braves, which I see, to me, that is, isn't that a compliment that despite whatever obstacles you're facing? Because, like I said, I'm 1/8 Cherokee Indian, so I have a little bit of say, I guess. To me, being, you know, from a Braves standpoint, it means courageous. You're there fighting whatever obstacles that you were facing. But then I go back to even the Chop, and remember, the Chop came out of being because Deion Sanders, who played at Florida State, who was a Seminole, and by the way, as a reminder, Florida State University has an incredible working relationship with the Seminole tribe. They have the blessing of the Seminole tribe as far as everything associated with what you see at the football games. So if the Tomahawk Chop originated because Deion Sanders, because they weren't doing this before 91, they did it because Deion Sanders was a former Florida State football player. And then you certainly know the chant if you ever go to a game either in Tallahassee or go to a football game where Florida State is one of the teams there, you hear the Chop, right? So my thing is, because it originated with Deion Sanders from Florida State, do they have to do away with it?
I was thinking about this a lot, and I'm going to kind of rely on your age here because you're older. Right. What of, like, for as long as this conversation has been in the world, how long do you think it's been since this has been going on? Not just with the Redskins, or I'm talking about as a whole, like the changing of names because it's a bad look for these teams. Well, how long is this conversation, more specifically, I guess, to the Redskins? I mean, the Redskins have always been kind of the poster child, correct?
Well, we saw this, you know, in the last 20 years, remember a lot of this, I mean, some schools in the OVC, you know, you had like Indians and all that, and a lot of these programs with no ties to any of these tribes that are out there made the switch, and I forgot exactly why we went down that path, but it was within the last, you know, two decades that, you know, we had a lot of programs out there changing their nicknames. I can't remember the first time when they had to change the lyrics of their fight song because they were racist. The Redskins name has been out there for a while, and my guess is I don't remember it, and maybe because we didn't have social media back then. But when you think about how the late 60s rolled into the early 70s, there was a lot of things being discussed at that point. And my guess is that it was probably brought up during that time frame. But then again, the NFL today, nothing like what the NFL was like then, because the NFL was not the must-see TV, like the Super Bowl or whatever. People watched it, but now it's you watch for the entire thing, whether your team is playing in the Super Bowl or not. And so I think with other things happening in the U.S., this is when these kind of topics come up. But I know there was a big push, like within the last, maybe the early part of the 21st century, the last time I remember a big push with these programs wanting to change their nicknames.
I bring the point up because, this is my view, and somebody want to call in and tell me that I'm wrong, please do. But from my point of view, it seems like the Redskins has always been the real pivotal one that people always bring up. They say that's the one that needs to change before anything
else.
Well,
it's racist.
It is, and I agree. And I agree with that. But going into kind of what you were talking about, wondering, you know, now the Braves, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Seminoles, all these different ones that just, you know, they each have their unique history and everything. But if you look at the Redskins, that's always been the one that's on the forefront of people's mind. It just now, finally, after all the years that people have been calling it, now they're finally changing. I feel like you're not going to see... like you can look at it two schools of thought. One, you could say, well, now the wall's been broken and people are going to start changing all of these. Well, that includes Braves, Seminoles, whatever. But I think I look at it the other way. It's taken this long for the Redskins to change, and that one is about as blatant, and along with the Indians, I would say the Indians is also about as blatant a one that should be changed. But those are the most blatant ones that have no significance of any kind of history or anything in it. And now that's changed after all this time period. So I don't think the Braves are going to be forced into change. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be forced into change. I don't think the Seminoles are going to be forced into change. No. And if they will, it's going to be years and years and years. Because look how long it's taken for the Washington Redskins to be changed.
Well, like I said, Florida State has... Florida State was smart. Of all these teams you're talking about, Florida State was the smartest of the bunch in the sense that they worked out an arrangement with the Seminole tribes. Nobody else has ever done that. We go back to teams that, you know, when they changed, you know, as far as the Indian nicknames that they had out there, a lot of these, you know, occurred once again as the early part of the 21st century. And I throw out that, you know, like, for example, Southeast Missouri State changed theirs. For some reason, I don't know. I don't have a problem with the Braves name. I don't really have a problem with the Chiefs. I don't know enough about what Cleveland has or has not done as far as being the Cleveland Indians.
Well, I can tell you what's wrong with the Indians' name. And I think this is one that goes very untalked about. But if you think about where the name Indians came from, it's kind of just, it's not, somebody can make a racist claim for it, but I think it's more or less just an ignorance claim because the group of people that came over here from Europe, right, they thought they were in the West Indies. And that's your Christopher Columbus, so on. And so they just said they were Indians because they thought they were in India. And they weren't. They weren't in the Indies at all. So they were just geographically wrong and geographically calling a group of people by the wrong name. And we've just stuck as they're the Indians and we need to have the Indians. And so that, in that sense, I can say, well, that's not what these people were. And it's just geographically wrong.
Well, we have Colorado in the Pac-12, so I'll just...
Well, there you go, too.
And how many teams do we have in the Big 12?
I think 12.
And we have 10.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah. And then in the Big 10, how many teams we have? 14.
There you go.
So kind of get confused there. But It'll be interesting to see what happens. Now, I remember, by the way, the SEMO, Southeast Missouri State, they went from the Indians to the Redhawks back in 2005. And once again, it was one of these things that, you know, gained some momentum 15 years ago, and I can't remember if there was anything particular that sent it, you know, these schools down that path. But, you know, am I shocked about the Redskins making the decision? No. It's always been a racist nickname.
Yeah, and it's going to happen. I wonder, though, how it's going to play out, because you heard the story also. There are some people there that own the trademarks to some of these other names, like the Red Tails and the Warriors and so on. So I wonder how much the Redskins are going to, well, I guess the Washingtons are going to have to spend to get some of these names that people are trademarking left and right.
How cool would it be if they go back to the Senators, maybe work out something with Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard older people say that, you know, like yourself, and I guess maybe just for memory's sake, but do something new. I hate tradition. We've talked about this a million times.
For the Nationals, honestly, instead of Washington Nationals, that to me should have been the Senators. Because.
You
don't always have to be new and different.
I think it's way new and different's way better. I mean, what you want about Oregon, but their jerseys are always great because they're always changing, whether you like them or not.
They remind me of the Oakland A's back in the 70s, and Oregon, the Ducks, have probably as many different combinations when you think about the colors that they use, you know, with the tops and the helmets and the socks and everything.
They have
else
more combinations than Sonic's drinks do.
I wonder how much extra time that they have to put into trying to figure out making sure they have the right socks and all that. I mean,
it gives more students more jobs to build themselves inside the industry. There you go. There's your spin.
But think about it. If you're talking about making sure all the football players have the right uniform tops, the jersey, the pants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, you could get, okay, wait, is this the green socks day or is it the yellow socks day?
I have a feeling they don't do this game day of. I have a feeling it's very much planned ahead.
I think you're right. All right, so Redskins, no. And look, here's the thing. Usually the NFL is smart, and they have a combination of nicknames already available for teams to, you know, to go down that path so that they don't have to worry about trademarks or any of that.
I hope they don't do the Warriors. You know, that's just because there's Golden State, and I get their, you know, ends of the country different and it's different sports, but I don't like the fact that there's a baseball Giants and a football Giants. I don't like that.
I mean, as far as the Warriors, I mean, are they basing it on what? Another group that you can all of a sudden say, hey, wait. I mean, look, my relatives on my father's side, we were barbarians. If you ever see the movie Gladiator, Russell Crowe and his company of men are killing my relatives, very first part of Gladiator. True story.
Huh. True. Well, you know, it's like I like the Red Tails. I think I'm more in the realm of Red Tails, and that helps them keep their HTTR hashtag and all that, because I know that's a part of it.
Is it a bird?
It's a bird, but it's in reference to the Tuskegee Airmen. They were the Red Tails.
You know, and you could see where they could go down that path.
I think that's a cool one. And do like a plane and stuff like that. And like the Red Wolves, that's not bad because it's, you know, it's wolves. And, you know, you can do some cool stuff with that. You know, don't be boring and be the Warriors. I think that's just boring.
No, I don't like the Warriors either.
Yeah.
And I think it would be smart to have, you know, go down that path that uses an R.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can keep somewhat, you know, the colors and maybe the logo scheme with the R.
Well, they already use one, right? They have the R red skin with like the arrow going through it. They already use that helmet sometimes. So,
but they have to do away with the arrow. But my point is, as far as they don't have to change the initials per se, and they come up something with cool with the R. That is, you know, I don't know. And no, don't say revolvers, because that won't work either.
The revolvers, yeah, they don't want to put a gun out there.
You had to, by the way, when I was doing, you know, when I worked in college athletics, and when we would, you know, you'd come up with the creative ideas as far as your cover of your media guides. I remember once, this was back at the old Opryland, they had this cool thing of where, you know, I forget the name of it, but it was just that old-timey brown look as far as in the pictures. And I dressed my head coach as a sheriff. And the whole idea, we had a solid defense filled with a couple of All-Americans, three or four all-conference first-teamers on defense, and it was defending the tradition. That was the theme for the media guide. But I had to be very careful. I didn't want either my – I didn't want the player. I let the player dress up, you know, as Randy Fuller. I let him dress as himself as far as a football player. But I dressed up my head coach as a sheriff. But made sure there was no guns, no guns whatsoever in the picture, because you just have to be very careful when you go down that path.
I don't even think that would fly today, though, huh?
What, with guns? Oh, no.
No. The police. a sheriff.
Well, yeah. But a sheriff, you know, the old, but he was an old, you know, the old-timey Wild Wild West sheriff, so.
Okay. Maybe. Maybe not, though. I don't know. Maybe Who not. Knows anymore? Who can really put the barometer on there and say they know?
Usually what I would do, I would throw out the idea, and I would say, all right, this is what I'm planning. Your thoughts. Tell me if there's a reason why I should not go down this path.
Yeah. That's what you have to do nowadays.
I have a funny one, too, that did not make the cut, and but it was originated by one of the Ryan brothers, who, you know, in fact, he is now an assistant coach with the Washington Redskins, and we'll talk about that on the other side. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 615-844-5600. A little bit later this hour, Chip Towers. We'll talk Georgia Bulldogs and more. He covers the Bulldogs for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. It's still quite active out here as far as accidents. Watch out. They're still working that wreck with injuries in the 1100 block of Gallatin Pike there in Madison. It was tied up a few minutes ago at East Thompson Lane at Murfreesboro Pike on a crash. Dickerson Pike at Trinity Lane. That's East Nashville on the scene of that accident. We've had several wrecks in the last few minutes over in East Nashville. For that perfect getaway just outside of Gatlinburg, check out Cosby Creek Cabins. Log on now, CosbyCreekCabins.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on Demumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
Hey, Bill King here to talk about the Omni Nashville Hotel like you've heard me do so many times. Bar line specifically you. New summer hours, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Delicious food and drink. Bourbon barbecue chicken wings. Also the Bear Bones Burger and everything else you're going to love on that menu. Remember, the Omni is also the location of Commitments Year Number 3, which is December 16th. Bar lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Mickey Yates is here, ladies and gentlemen.
As a fan of both of the men, this is the place to be. Do you want to know about sports? This is the place to be. Listen to John and Greg. This is it.
Wow. That was awesome.
I quit.
Yeah, no, I'm done. That's a mic drop.
That's a mic drop.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Frames, with you, Zach Williams, making sure everything's well under control. 615-844-5600, 844-5600. By the way, I saw this on the WilliamsonHomepage.com site. You know, one of those things, we're going to be talking Titans, especially as we get closer to Wednesday, whether or not Derrick Henry gets the extended contract, whether or not we're talking Jadeveon Clowney this week or not. Don't know if you saw this, but former Memphis standout and now a free agent kicker, you know, and you certainly remember him with his success with the Patriots all those years. But free agent kicker Stephen Gutkowski, along with his wife, they recently bought a home down in Franklin. And once again, I throw out the two words, free agent.
Mm.
Free agent kicker.
Do you think that's more or less because he's getting in on the hot real estate around Nashville, or I got three opportunities here for you, it's because coach, and I'm forgetting the Patriots coach now, cannot believe Belichick. Coach, yep. Belichick has a home in there, correct? And then the third option is, does he want to play for the Titans?
See, I think A and C. I think that, and plus, remember, he played his college ball in the state of Tennessee as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Titans certainly, right now, you could say all the right things about Greg Joseph, but are you 100% sold as far as with your kicking game?
I'm definitely more with Joseph than anything else they had last season.
Last season, however, well, but Ryan Succop was hurt early on, because what Ryan Succop did for the Titans, and if you're a fan, he's Mr. Automatic for several years.
Yeah.
And so you wonder if he's back in the equation, or could be, just in case you start having doubts with your kicking game. But, you know, I don't know what the price tag would be for Stephen Gutkowski, but we certainly know how successful he was.
Well, see, that's the problem. That's the biggest problem. We've talked about it a million times. And that, you know, we talked about the backup quarterback situation, and there's so much pressure for the Tennessee Titans to sign Jadeveon Clowney for that edge rush. But there's, you know, there's other spots on this team that still have question marks in the depth category, and kicking is definitely one of them. Backup running back, that's another spot you could look at and say that, you know, are you 100% sold on Darrington Evans? Because he's done nothing in the NFL, so you don't know. And this all kind of centers around, once again, the son that is Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, that's the Titans universe right now. And if a lot of people right now are speculating that he's looking towards the Eagles, and if the Titans miss out on him, you know, then the Jarrell Casey thing becomes strange. But I think if that does happen, if you see Jadeveon Clowney signed somewhere else, then you're going to see a flurry of signatures for the Tennessee Titans across a lot of different spots in their team to fill depth.
I go with, if the Titans are not able to sign Clowney and they don't extend Henry, if I'm a fan of the Titans, I'm going to be disappointed that Jarrell Casey is no longer with this team.
Yeah, Jarrell Casey and Logan Ryan. I mean, those were two names that really, yeah, Casey was never questioned at the beginning of all this. Logan Ryan, though, you could make a case that they'd say, okay, we're not going to give you the $10 million, but maybe we do $8 million, somewhere in that ballpark. But still, they've lost a lot of pieces that you would think they tried to retain, but just knew they were trying to get Jadeveon Clowney as well. So it's just, they've been sucked up into that Clowney vacuum for so long that they just almost have no air anymore to go after anybody else because of their cap limit.
Well, and certainly, you know, with Simmons emerging sooner rather than later last year, you know, it did open up the door where you could have done away with Jarrell Casey, but just, you know, and I'm okay with Logan Ryan not being a part of the team anymore. I mean, you know, I thought
it's a big piece missing, though.
Yeah,
it's going to be a big question mark.
You've got some talent. First of all, this pushes Malcolm Butler. Secondly,
that's not helping anybody.
And you've got Adoree Jackson, and they used the draft to address that need as well. So I'm really good with cornerback, especially if you all of a sudden Malcolm Butler is, say, third on that
list. I think you're very glass half full right now with the cornerback spot, because there's a lot of problems in what you just said. Adoree Jackson, he is a future, obviously, for the Tennessee Titans, and he played great last season. For the most part, he had a few hiccups here and there, but who doesn't in the NFL? Malcolm Butler is washed as you can be. There's no more saying push, and now he's coming off an injury. That's a huge problem. He gets beat constantly. He can't
be
one-on-one.
But he could be third.
Well, then you're saying you're hoping a rookie walks in and makes an instant impact, and especially at corner, when do you have that happen?
When you're you have that happen all the time, especially if he doesn't have to be the number one guy.
You need him to be the number two.
He doesn't even – no, I want him to push for number two.
Malcolm Butler is going to get beat. We've seen this time and time again. This isn't something that's new. He did it in New England. He had one play that sold his entire career. I mean, for the most part, that cornerback spot is very, very loose right now. You're looking at Jonathan Joseph might be having to play the three spot, and then Butler trying to play like a nickel.
But why has it been loose? And it's been loose mainly because the Titans, and I think they have improved this area, and they were improving last year in the second half of the season. If you cannot apply pressure with your front, if you can't get pressure on the opposing team's quarterback, it presents problems for any defense out there. And I think that the Titans, especially with some of the moves that they made in the offseason, you know, from the left side to the right side, I think they've increased that. Now, time will tell if I'm correct. But I expect certainly, and I think you would agree with this, a better performance as far as being able to get pressure compared to last year.
I mean, honestly, no. I think it's even. I wouldn't say it's better or worse. I would say it's just going to be even because, once again, they haven't done anything that's so splash differently on the pressure front. They still have majority of the same guys. You're really just trading out Jarrell Casey for Jeffrey Simmons, and you could say 1A, 1B on that situation.
You got Vic Beasley,
who had a down year last year on a terrible defense, so I'm not putting all the blame on him, what he did, but he has in the past had success on the edge. But past that, I mean, where else?
And you would expect Landry to continue to improve.
Still the same guy as last season. I think you have more problem now because Logan Ryan's not back there, and Logan Ryan was the best cornerback for a long stretch in the NFL last season. And so that's a humongous loss that defense was built around him, not really around him, but definitely built for him to be the number one cornerback and need to show up every game. It's a big loss. I think people aren't thinking about it right now, but these kind of additions and subtractions that they've made so far are going to be highlighted a lot if Jadeveon Clowney is not signed. And then obviously the Derrick Henry thing will come to fruition as well, as we have, 2 days left on that?
Right. We have until Wednesday. So we'll see
it's
how
a lot
that
of problems,
out.
Man.
it's well, look, there's a lot of teams wish they had the problems that the Titans have on defense.
Oh, I think they have a good defense. Don't get me wrong. I think you're going to see, you know, Jadeveon Clowney is just going to step them into a new level. I think it's just more or less right now they haven't done anything that has made them better or worse. I think they're very much going to be the same as they were last year, which was a good defense. But I think Logan Ryan missing makes them at least in a negative fashion.
Oh, by the way, we're talking about media guide covers, and you know. And I was very fortunate. 1 year I had the number one media guide cover in the country. And it was one of these things, always trying to outdo myself. But we always had ideas we were throwing out there. And
Who votes on that?
It's a special panel that's out there. It changes each and every year. But back in the day, you could submit your, you know, and so like my game program was always in football was the best in a 5-state district each and every year. My football game program was. Well, anyway, so one of the years I'm not going to throw out which coach we're talking about, but it's like, how about this for a cover? Sick and tired of losing and have the coach like hanging over a toilet. I mean, that didn't make the cut.
It's bold.
I know it was. It would have been bold. It'd been like also my last day working if that one had emerged as well.
That's why I said bold.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I was always pushed to because Rob Schaber, who's now retired over at Tennessee Tech, you know, he was one of the best in the business. He had Brad Kirtley at the time over at Austin Peay. And so I was pushed knowing I was going up against that kind of, you know, talent that was out there. And the funnier ones were the ones when you were just thinking out loud to yourself and just throwing up ideas and seeing if they stick or not, but also the ones that didn't quite make the cut. All right, coming up on the other side, chance to talk JT Daniels. This is funny how this works out. Just you know, on Friday, scheduled Chip Towers. He covers the Bulldogs for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and just so happens today we get the news that Daniels, when they are ready to take the field, he'll be eligible to not have to sit out. He'll be ready to go day one. All right, we'll talk about that and more on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's been very active as far as accidents out here in the last couple of hours. Working right now up north 65 southbound near Ellington Parkway, Briley Parkway, that's in Madison. Of course, the heaviest flow is going the other direction, going northbound. 1100 block of Gallatin Pike in Madison. They're still gathered up on the scene of that crash with injuries. East Thompson Lane and Murfreesboro Pike being cleared. Just busy right now on all the major outbound routes. Hey, Bars Music City Soul Food is now open. Check them out at barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time. Traffic.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
It is an uncertain time for us all, but kids in foster care have always known an uncertain future. Now, more than ever, we see what it means to truly connect with others in a way we didn't fully appreciate through the simple little things we do. It's those little things that also make a big difference to a kid in foster care, to help them become all they were meant to be. During a time when taking care of each other is by far most important, Youth Villages Foster Care asks that you consider opening your home to these young people who are without one. To keep us all safe and healthy during this time, Youth Villages is offering virtual presentations with information to address your thoughts and questions about fostering a child. Learn how you can become a foster parent at youthvillages.org/foster. Youth Villages, foster a little hope. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa, we've stopped thinking outside the box. Instead, we're thinking inside the bucket. The $2.99 Napa bucket, to be exact. When you fill those bad boys with auto parts, you can get 20% off three or more items that fit inside. No overthinking required. Just get your bucket, fill it up, and save 20%. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 7/31/20.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCant forecast for this afternoon. Mostly sunny with a high near 91 with a north wind 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight mostly clear with a low around 68. And tomorrow sunny with a high near 93 with calm winds becoming northeast around 5 miles an hour in the afternoon. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Coming up just after 5, our good buddy Joe Rexrode with The Athletic. We'll talk Titans, Grizzlies, and more with him. But right now, going to the hotline, just always happens this way. Chip Towers joins us. He covers the Bulldogs for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And I don't know. You know, I reached out to you on Friday, just had a gut feeling that we were going to get some big news impacting the Georgia Bulldogs, and we got it today with JT Daniels. But first and foremost, Chip, always a pleasure. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, glad to be with you. Always glad to talk to you and your Nashville audience, and it's good to have something to talk about. Yeah, there's one subject that won't go away, and then increasingly we're all hoping to talk a little bit of football eventually. I don't know when we'll get to really get down in the weeds on that for real, but Georgia got JT Daniels got his eligibility today, tweeted that out, and so Georgia's quarterback competition gets the heat turned up a notch.
Before we get into Daniels, I was throwing this out earlier in the hour, because, you know, my thought process has always been based on what I know about college athletics, what I know about COVID-19 to this point. You know, I never saw September or October, and so, literally, you know, since April, I've been thinking January, February. And so in my mindset, while everybody now is panicking because it's now getting towards, you know, this week it's mid-July, and and obviously Labor Day is looking very iffy about anything as far as football is concerned. My mindset has been, in my calendar, my working calendar in my head, it's like March. And so I'm good because based on my working calendar, January 6 months away. And so I'm not like going up and down with the roller coaster with new news, bad news, whatever, taking away. Because we get this news about the fact, like the Big Ten, I think, wanted to jump the gun on the SEC and talked about just going conference only. Well, this is based on fall football, and that was a big if that no one really wanted to talk about the if part of all that equation when they even made the announcement. But if we do go back, and all of a sudden now it's looking like January, February, is everything back on as far as the non-conference games?
Yeah. If whether we'd have non-conference in a January or February start, I don't know. I've been wrestling with this, slippery anaconda for, I guess you'd say, the last 24 hours. And, the SEC, obviously the SEC ADs are meeting in Birmingham right now. And
right.
I might have missed it. I've been working on some other stuff. So I don't know that we've had any news break out of that. I was told ahead of time not to expect anything, but they are chewing on all these scenarios. I don't want to sound like negative Nancy, but as we get later and later into this thing, I'm becoming increasingly pessimistic about college football in any scenario. I don't like all those scenarios that they're talking about pushing into 2021, whether it be in January, whether it be in March. I've heard all those scenarios. There's just so many considerations, and I'm kind of the mindset now. It's like, just stick a fork in it and be done, and asterisk 2020, and then let's start over and try next year, because the conference only format in this, for this fall, is problematic. Conference only format for spring is problematic. A full schedule in the spring is problematic, and not the least of which you're talking about playing two seasons in 1 year for unpaid college athletes, unpaid, technical, if you want to argue about that. But I don't like any of them. I don't like any of the scenarios of forcing this game. Now, I also understand that you're forcing – trying to force football to be played is a good thing too, certainly for the economies of Nashville and Athens, Georgia, and Oxford, Mississippi,
right,
and everywhere else that economies kind of depend on that fall influx of revenue. But from a health and safety standpoint, I don't like any of the scenarios. It just doesn't make sense to me. If you're truly putting the health and safety of the athletes at the forefront of all decisions, then none of these make sense to me. So I don't know.
Well, and the reason it makes sense for me, because I know you didn't want to be negative, I'm positive about January, February, because I really still have faith about a vaccine. And that's why I'm positive about January, February. It's not mm-hmm. because I think that all of a sudden this is just going to disappear. I don't believe that at all. That early. But I do have faith that we will have a vaccine that can work, and that's why January, February still makes sense to me.
Yeah, and that's, that's certainly what it takes, and that definitely, buys us more time to get that to happen where it is. I don't know where the science is on that front, and I don't know how realistic of a goal that might be. To get a vaccine in place by then. It's fun to talk about and experiment with the different schedule formats. I like what you said at the beginning. I do think the Big Ten jumped the gun a little bit on saying what they were doing, and now the Pac-12 has joined them, and they say the ACC is right around the corner, and I think obviously, if that happens, that forces everybody's hand. Georgia in itself has two ACC opponents on the schedule, so the ACC goes to conference only. Well, automatically, you're down two games. Now, what does a conference only format look like? And there's a lot of debate, and there's a lot of conjecture on what that might be. Now, none of the conjecture is coming directly from Greg Sankey or any one of those 14 ADs that are meeting in Birmingham right now. But there's ways to do it. Just keeping your conference schedule as it is now, taking all the other opponents off of it, compressing that into, I've heard, 8 consecutive weeks. I've also heard spread it out into 16 weeks where you have an off game every other week. So you have 14 days between games. So if anything, there's any kind of outbreak or anybody tests positive after the last game, then there's a realistic scenario of having them come back for the next. Again, it's so complicated. I'm glad I'm not the one making a decision on how any of this is going to work or how it's going to look. But the reality is, what we always heard was August. You know, August was like the line of demarcation. You got to get to August 1st knowing what you're doing.
Right.
Here we are at July, mid-July, and you've got Ohio State and North Carolina shutting down their camps. You've got the Big Ten talking about playing conference only, Pac-12 joining them playing conference only. An on-time start at this point looks almost like an impossible scenario for me. And, the conference-only model is very difficult to work in the calendar year 2020. And then when you get into 2021, I'm real pessimistic about asking these guys to try to play 2 seasons in 1 calendar year. So I'm negative, Nick. And this is not, you and I talked earlier this summer. This is not where I was. I mean, if we'd have talked a month ago, I'd say, oh, yeah, you're going to play in some way, shape, or form. You're either going to have fans there or you're not, but they're going to play. They're going to make it happen. And then in June, all these kids come on campus. And I said, well, that's it. Yeah, they were there. They're there. Now they're going to play. Now the question is, they're there. What are you going to do with them if you don't play? If you don't play on time or you don't play at the start of the season? Now what do you do with all these guys? It's complicated. Good gosh.
Well, that's like Ohio State sent their the day of the announcement last week. Ohio State, who, by the way, a part of the Big Ten, sent their players home. It's like, wait a second, so much for the voluntary workouts because of COVID-19.
We don't want you here. Go home. And are they safer at home? I mean, I don't know. One of the biggest problems with the entire scenario of the voluntary workout is, personal freedoms and liberties, can you quarantine these guys and tell them you can only come to the football facility and you can only go to your apartment/dorm and nowhere else? Well, obviously you can't. And as we saw at LSU and Clemson and some other places, you bring these guys back on campus, they're young college kids. They're going to go out and want to see everybody else. I mean, that's what you do at 18 to 22 years old. I mean, people don't like to stay by themselves at that age, or really at any age. So that's been a whole other, scenario about it. How do these kids feel about it themselves? I mean, we hear a little bit here and there, but that, we don't hear a lot from the athletes themselves that are being asked to make this sacrifice, if you will.
In 60 seconds, right now, if you had to gauge the Georgia fan base on whether it's JT Daniels or Jamie Newman, where would the camp be at this point?
Yeah, back to that, right? Well, I think this is a big deal development for Georgia, no kidding. I mean, JT Daniels, nobody knows, how good he is. He started as one of only 2 freshmen in Southern Cal history to start as a true freshman, and he was a 17-year-old freshman at the time, so he's a really young guy coming in here as a redshirt sophomore. But he has started. He was the starter last year. He brings a lot to the table, so this is different than – so before, you had Jamie Newman, and there's just no question. I mean, I think more than anything else, Kirby Smart has done this just to put the competitive heat on Jamie Newman and say, hey, man, this isn't automatic. I've got options here. It's an insurance policy, and I'm sure JT Daniels, who was granted a extenuating circumstances waiver, as I understand it, you don't go through all that trouble unless you think you can compete. Now, he's 10 months removed from a ACL reconstructive surgery. That's about on time. I mean, he's running around and everything now. I don't think you'll see him get hit anytime soon, but I mean, I think he's fully into the competition now with Jamie Newman, and it can't do anything but improve Georgia's quarterback scenario.
Before I let you go, remind everybody again the best ways to keep up with all your coverage of the Bulldogs and the SEC.
Yeah, please follow me on Twitter, C Towers AJC, at C Towers AJC, and of course at AJC.com is all the Atlanta Journal-Constitution content is there, and we've got a Georgia page set up and lots of SEC reports there as well.
Hey, we appreciate you, Chip. Hope you have a great rest of the week. All my best to you and your family. Continue to stay safe, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
Will do. Thanks, John.
Thank you. That's Chip Towers once again with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's busy right on schedule 24 East here up by Shelby, up by the football stadium. We got a crash at Murfreesboro Pike at Rural Hill Road in Antioch that just happened. 65 South there at Briley Parkway. That wreck is over to the side. It's really starting to get busy now out here on the South Loop, the West Loop, and 65 down into Brentwood. For that perfect getaway just outside Gatlinburg, check out Cosby Creek Cabins. Log on now, CosbyCreekCabins.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
NASCAR Cup Series racing from Kentucky over the weekend. Let's run them down. 10-1. Tyler Reddick with yet another top 10. Then you got Brad Keselowski. Eric Almirola led a ton of laps early in this race. Christopher Bell. Ryan Blaney ran most of this race one-handed on the steering wheel because the other one, he had to keep on the shifter. Kept popping out of gear. Then you got Kurt Busch. Kevin Harvick led late in this race. Looked to be the winner, but was foiled by a drain and the 12 car of Ryan Blaney. Matt DiBenedetto number 3 and Martin Truex Jr. comes up one spot short of the win. Let's head to victory lane now, where a rookie steals the win away from all those KG veterans and champions, Cole Custer, with his first career win, and in doing so, launches himself into Wednesday's All-Star race.
You know, our restarts are very similar to the Truck Series. You know, you just got to keep momentum up. You got to try and make three wide moves. And I think that's just what you kind of got to base it off of. But overall, I mean, it's a combination of everything. Everything that you've learned throughout your career of trying to time the restarts right, trying to get momentum on people and get to their outside. And you, once you're up front, you got to take advantage of it. And I think we did that today. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I just came into this race, you know, hoping to get a solid finish and get us pointing in the right direction going towards the playoffs. And to come out of it winning is just unimaginable.
It's the first win ever by a rookie at Kentucky Speedway. He's only led 4 laps in the Cup Series in his career, total, all of them in this race. And he's the first rookie to win in the Cup Series since Chris Buescher did it in 2016.
TheFinalLap.com.
Hello, I'm a famous rock star. You're too kind. Anyway, I'm just a regular guy. I love my family, and I love my Skechers. Looks like Skechers is getting some love too. They've got slip-ons, flexible knits, and so many ultra-comfortable shoes with Skechers exclusive air-cooled memory foam. Yep, when it comes to comfort and style at a great price, absolutely nothing beats Skechers.
Find Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Hey, couch surfers, we've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, and Colleen, yes, you Colleen with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow, and your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or cancel?
So meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials expire, and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Limitations apply.
Allstate has new lower auto rates. Allstate has new lower auto rates. Allstate has new lower auto rates. Allstate has new lower auto rates.
Allstate has new lower auto rates. There we go. For new lower auto rates, visit allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today.
Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Yeah. Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. Coming up in hour number two, just after five, Joe Rexroad with The Athletic. We'll be talking various topics, certainly what we can expect with regards to NFL, college football, NBA, and more. Also around 5:35 or so, Eric Hasseltine. He is the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. Zach, I saw this posted earlier from Herb Vinson with the SEC, and today would have actually been the first day of the 2020 SEC Football Media Days over in Atlanta, and I've been going to them every year since 2008. In fact, in 2008, did a morning show and an afternoon show because our morning guy down in Huntsville had left, and so I ended up doing two shows a day for all the duration of the SEC Media Days. But he had brought up the fact that you know, especially the veterans, what is your favorite SEC Media Day memory? And I've been very fortunate. I feel like each and every year there was something special, something memorable. But last year, I celebrated my 500th one-on-one interview with various, you know, coaches, players, et cetera. And I wanted number 500 to be special. And I reached out to, it was the last day of the SEC Media Days down in Birmingham last season. And I reached out to Auburn and Gus Malzahn, who I wasn't expected to have on last year because I'd had him on the two previous years. He was more than happy in wanting to agree to come on. And so I will always be thankful for Auburn's media relations department and especially Coach Malzahn, who jumped at that opportunity to be guest number 500 dating back to 2008.
Got to look forward to next year now.
That's right. And where is it? We don't even know. Is that going to be here now? We don't know. Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be back in Atlanta and they wait till Nashville for 2022? You know, I guess time will tell about with answers to all of those questions. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two coming up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.